But in any case, you know, tonight is the eve of Yom Kippur, and so the 10-day countdown has, for the Feast of Trumpets, to, you know, has now come. And, you know, this is really the holiest day of the year. And really the 10 days between Yom Teruah and Yom Kippur foreshadow the last days, the coming of the Messiah, and the day of judgment and of the nations. And it's really an appointed time for us to be reminded of our atonement and our forgiveness in Messiah, our great high priest. I just really feel we need to pray. Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we just ask God for your wisdom. Lord God, we know that we're facing this challenge once again, Father. You know, we just, this stubborn virus does not seem to want to go away. And we just pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit to give us wisdom. Lord, keep each one of us healthy and keep each one of us safe. For those who have been affected, even this week, Lord, that you would pray that you would touch them. And Lord, we pray that you would guide us and direct us. And Lord, we know that we are all being tested for our faith. And we just pray, God, that you would give us wisdom to know how to navigate through these difficult times and not to become frustrated and discouraged, but, Lord, to keep our hearts fixed on you. As Jan prayed at the beginning, Lord, that we keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord, not on the circumstances around us, but, Lord, that we keep our eyes fixed on you. And so we just thank you, God, and we just pray for your blessing, God, as we observe this Yom Kippur, as the Jewish community will be observing Yom Kippur tonight and tomorrow, Father, where they would want to come with, their synagogues will be filled with people. Lord, we know that now this is not necessarily going to be the case. But Lord, we just pray that you will just guide us and direct our steps, and pray, Father, for your wisdom. And Lord God, we just pray for your blessing, your peace in our hearts, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, 150 people, and a third of that is what? 60 people or so? We can have 72 people here in the sanctuary. Okay? What's that? Okay, so about 70 some people tomorrow. Right, okay. In any case, just so we understand that. But, you know, I just want to talk about, because the Lord did put a really good message in my heart tonight. I don't want to be distracted from what the Lord has laid on my heart. You know, there's a saying during the days of awe, the 10 days of awe, on Yom Kippurah, it is written, on Yom Kippur, it is sealed. And Gemar Katima Katova means, may your name be inscribed. That's really the heart of the Jewish community, is that their hope that their names will be inscribed in the Book of Life. And according to Jewish tradition, when the shofar is first sounded on the Feast of Trumpets, announcing the 10 days of awe, the gates of heaven are opened, and three books are taken out, one for the righteous, one for the wicked, and one for those who are in between. And the righteous are immediately promised that their names will continue to be recorded in the Book of Life. The wicked are condemned to death. And for those in between, it will be decided on the Day of Atonement. And so in Jewish tradition, Yom Kippur is really essentially their last appeal, an opportunity to change the judgment of God by repenting. And man's action during the 10 days of awe will determine their outcome through prayer, through repentance, through good deeds. And during Yom Kippur, many of our people will be praying and fasting all day without food or water, hoping that their sins will be forgiven for another year. And so synagogues around the world will be full of worshipers crying out to Adonai for forgiveness, praying and seeking his favor and repenting with intensity and uncertainty as to whether their names will be recorded in the Book of Life. And when Yom Kippur concludes, the shofar will be sounded, the gates of heaven will close, and the decision will be made to determine one's destiny, life or death. And this is how our Jewish friends understand the Day of Atonement. You know, as Messianic believers, we know that the gates of heaven are always open. And forgiveness of sin is always available for all who call upon his name. And the king is always in the field. It's a story that is read during the month of Elul. The king's always in the field. He's accessible 24/7, not just at a certain time in the year. And the scriptures teach us that our salvation is not based on works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And he washed away our sins. And he gave us a new birth, and he gave us a new life. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And God did not change his mind, even without the temple, because we know Yeshua fulfilled the sacrifice. It is Yeshua's blood that was shed that atoned for our sins. And in 1 John 5, one of my, favorite scriptures I like to share, this is the witness that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has a Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And these things have I written to you in order that you may know that you have eternal life. So that you may know that your names are written in the book of life. So we don't have to live from year to year with the uncertainty of whether we will live or we will die. We can have 100% confidence and assurance that our names are written in the book of life and that we'll live a life everlasting. That's God's promise to us. He is our atonement. He's our holy covering. He paid the penalty for our sin. And so our reason for gathering together on this solemn day is to be reminded that Yeshua is our great high priest. And he has given us the assurance that our names are recorded in the book of life. And that we will never be blotted out of the book of life. I mean, that's comforting, and that's reassuring that to know that our names are recorded in the book of life. You know, the Day of Atonement is known by several names: the Day of the Great Fast, the Great Day of the Lord, Face to Face, the Day of Judgment, the Great Shofar, the Closing of the Gates. You know, each one of these names have prophetic and messianic meaning, and they all foreshadow the coming of our Messiah. As I've so often said, that when the Messiah comes, it'll be during the fall feasts. One day in the future, during this fall season, when we're gathered together and we're hearing the sound of the shofar. And as the sounds of the shofar are being sounded throughout the earth, one day the Son of Man will suddenly appear in the sky. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great trumpet blast. And they will gather together his elect from the four corners of the earth and from one end of the sky to the other. And that will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And they will be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And that's going to be a tremendous day when that day comes. And I believe it will be on the Feast of Trumpets. One day in the future, it will be on the Feast of Trumpets. The Messiah is going to come for his people. You know, we're now in the year 5782. And I shared on the Feast of Trumpets that this past year that the prophetic meaning of this year is the word house, habitation. And more specifically, the Father's house. You know, it's the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet, bet, which means house. And I believe that Adonai is warning us to get our house in order. Because the day of the Lord is coming. I know that we could all sense there's something foreboding that's happening. I mean, there's just something foreboding in the spirit that I just really sense. And I'm sure that many of us sense the same thing. You know, very last words of Yeshua in the book of Revelation is Maranatha, I'm coming soon. And so the question is, are we ready for his coming? You know, as believers, we rejoice in our salvation, knowing that our sins have been forgiven and that our names are recorded in the book of life. But even though we have this assurance of our salvation, we should never take it for granted. And while it is true that as believers, we will not face God's judgment and condemnation, we will face a time of judgment called the judgment seat of Messiah. So this evening I want to speak on the judgment seat of Messiah. I haven't spoken on this for a few years, and when the Jewish community worldwide is thinking about their destiny and God's judgment, and with all that we've been experiencing in this past year and a half, a time of really seeking God, you know, searching his heart, and really what is God doing in all this? I believe it's a time for us to really evaluate our own lives and to realize that one day we'll all stand before him at the judgment seat of the Messiah. There's a scripture that tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, 9, 10, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of the Messiah, that each one may give an account and receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And the Apostle Paul, or Peter, weighs in 1 Peter 4, verse 7, and he said, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, for the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what terrible fate awaits those who have never obeyed God's good news? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? And these words should cause us to have some godly fear, knowing that we will also be judged at the judgment seat of the Messiah. And so there will be two judgments at the end of the age, one for the righteous and one for the unrighteous. And Daniel the prophet, you know, gave a prophetic picture, an image, a vision of a heavenly scene in the courtroom for those who do not repent. And this is what Daniel saw in a vision in Daniel 7, 9, and 10. I watched as thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days sat down to judge. His clothing was as white as snow, his hair like purest wool. His throne was a fiery flame with wheels of blazing fire, and a river of fire was pouring out, flowing from his presence. What an amazing image of the Ancient of Days. Millions of angels ministered to him. Many millions stood to attend him. Then the court began its session, and the books were opened. What a sobering vision that Daniel had. And it shook him to the very core of his being. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, also gives us a glimpse of the great white throne judgment that will occur at the end of the millennial kingdom. All of humanity that was born from the beginning of time until the present and into the future, who have rejected God's plan of redemption, will be judged for their sin. And their names will be blotted out of the book of life. Let me just read what it says in Revelation 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, and they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead and death, and the grave gave up their dead. And they were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And what a terrible fate awaits all those who will one day be judged. And this judgment seat described in Daniel 7, Revelation 20, will be much different from the judgment seat of the Messiah. Because as God's people, we too will face a time of judgment at the end of the age, but every believer will stand before the judgment seat of the Messiah. And each one of us will give an account of how we've conducted ourselves in this life. And we'll be rewarded based upon what we've done in this life, whether good or bad. And so the judgment seat of Messiah will not determine our salvation. It will not determine our salvation. That was already determined by the Messiah's sacrifice on our behalf. All of our sins were forgiven, and we will never be condemned for them. But at the judgment seat of Messiah, all believers will be rewarded based on how faithful we have served Adonai in this life. And the scriptures do not indicate when the judgment seat of Messiah will take place. There are many who believe it will take place after Yeshua returns at some point during the millennial kingdom or just before the great white throne judgment. We know that during the tribulation period that's coming upon the earth, there will be survivors who will survive the tribulation, who are believers. They will enter into the millennial kingdom. And of course, Israel, as a nation, all those who are part of Israel as a nation will be saved, because, you know, it does say that all Israel will be saved. And so Israel as a nation will enter into the tribulation period, as well as all those from among the nations who have believed. And there will be people who will be born during the millennial kingdom. And so whether, you know, the scriptures don't say exactly when this judgment seat of Messiah will take place, but it will, most likely it will be before the, you know, the great white throne judgment. But the scriptures do indicate what will take place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15 describes the judgment seat of Messiah. Now, if you want to just turn to 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 15, and how we will be judged. It says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, another is building on it. But each person must be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Yeshua HaMashiach. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become evident, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If anyone's work which he has built on remains, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet only so as through fire. So in this life, we are to live our lives, build our lives wisely, and we're to build our lives well. Our life is based on choices we make. Wise choices or unwise choices. Wood, hay, and stubble represent all the worthless efforts we have done in this life, based upon our own fleshly efforts. Now, Jeremiah chapter 17 says, cursed is a man who trusts in man and depends upon the flesh for his strength. For he will be like a bush in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in a barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. Whereas gold and silver and precious stones represents the work of the Spirit in our lives. And Jeremiah 17 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that sends its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves will always be green. And he will have no worries in a year of drought. It will never stop bearing fruit. That's a contrast between those who do things in the flesh and those who do things in the Spirit. And our works will not be based on quantity, but on the quality of our workmanship. If anyone builds their foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, the work will be evident, because the day of judgment will bring it all to light. Everything in the darkness will be brought to the light. Paul said every believer's works will be tested as though by fire, and the fire itself will determine the quality of our work in this lifetime. The good deeds done for the glory of God will survive the fire of testing, whereas worthless deeds, those done in prideful flesh and in their own strength, will be burnt up like wood, hay, or stubble. It says, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet only so as through fire. So there'll be many believers who will just make it into heaven, just barely make it into heaven. But they won't have much in terms of rewards to show for it. I think one example is the thief on the cross. He just made it, you know, into paradise on the very day that Yeshua died. But Yeshua said, we can build our lives on two types of foundation, on rock or on sand. And Yeshua said, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, because it was founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Yeshua said that our lives will be tested by the storms and trials of life, and we're certainly going through some storms and trials of life right now in this pandemic. That's all part of our testing and how we will respond to these trials that come into our life. How will we respond to them will determine how we have lived our lives and whether we trusted in God through these difficult times. Our foundation will be strong if it was built on the solid rock of the Word of God and of Yeshua's teachings. Because on His solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And we're seeing the world sinking and sinking and sinking because it's built upon the sand. A wise man hears God's word and acts upon it, and we will have a life of blessing and success. A foolish man who ignores God's word will have a life of disappointment and failure. And that's why the word of God is so important. That's the only constant that we have in this life that we can truly depend on, that we can truly trust, that does not change. Amen? The new covenant describes five crowns that we will be given at the judgment seat of the Messiah that will be given out. And these crowns are based on what you have done in this life and how faithful you were in serving the Messiah. So there's a crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the imperishable crown, the crown of rejoicing, and the crown of glory. Let me just go through those, each one of those briefly so you understand. First of all, the crown of righteousness. It tells us in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. So this is a crown that every saved person whose name is recorded in the book of life will receive. Everyone will receive the crown of righteousness. Those who've longed and eagerly waited for the coming of the Messiah. Like the five wise virgins who patiently waited for the bridegroom with their jars filled with oil, they're ready and they're waiting. And they will receive the crown of righteousness. We'll all receive the crown of righteousness. Then there's the imperishable crown in 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. This crown is for believers who've been faithful in running the race. Those who have studied and dedicated their lives to the Word of God, who have faithfully prayed, who are committed in the relationship with a Father, who exercise self-control and discipline in their lives. It says in 1 Corinthians 9, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things, so they do it to obtain a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable wreath, an imperishable crown. It'll be for those who the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will entrust you to many more. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. And then thirdly, the crown of life. Mentioned in James 1. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because he has stood the test. He will receive the crown of life that God's promised to those who love him. So the crown of life will be for those who patiently endured trials, of testing and persecution, those who bravely confronted persecution for Yeshua, even to the point of death. We know there are many people today who are being persecuted for their faith in the Middle East. Many of our brothers in the Middle East are facing persecution. Yeshua said that no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields or persecutions for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times in this life and the age to come. So there's a special crown that will be given to all those who have faced persecution and did not deny the name of Yeshua as they face that persecution. And there's a crown of glory. So when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. This crown will be awarded to those who are faithful in their calling and who are faithful in feeding and equipping the flock of Adonai. And we think of the fivefold shepherd, fivefold ministry gifts. The apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, and the evangelists will be rewarded. The crown will be rewarded to all those who serve faithfully in God's kingdom and use their gifts entrusted to them for the equipping and building up of the body of Messiah. This includes elders and shamashim and other ministry leaders, all those who were involved in helping to build up and equip the body of Messiah. And the final crown is a crown of rejoicing. Paul said the greatest joy he could ever have is to see the salvation of souls. Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And so this is a soul winner's crown. Throughout history, there have been many men and women who have led hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord. Many of us have led many to the Lord. Those who have led many to righteousness will see the crown rejoicing and said they will shine like stars forever and ever. And Yeshua said there's great rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. So there's these five crowns that will be rewarded at the judgment seat of the Messiah. And I kind of came up with a little bit of an acronym. Sometimes it's hard to remember them, but just a little acronym, you know, I just try to figure it out. But, you know, GRILR, G-R-I-L-R. Just think of GRILR. And glory, righteousness, imperishable, and the crown of rejoicing, and the crown of life. You know, see, God tests our hearts so we'll be able to stand before him without shame on the day of our judgment. And the greatest consequence of unfaithfulness in this life is that it grieves and displeases the Messiah. In John 2, it says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. How many of us will be ashamed when we stand before the Lord at his coming because we're unfaithful, because we're indifferent, that we're too preoccupied with things of this life, that we're involved in a sinful lifestyle, that we're too ashamed to share the good news? I mean, this should motivate us and challenge us to serve him faithfully in this life, knowing so that we can stand before him and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You are faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many. Now, I want to just close with a scripture from 1 Peter 4. Just to, as a challenge, you know, that Peter challenged us. He said, the end of all things is near. We know that's, you know, really resonates with many of us. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should be used whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Yeshua HaMashiach. To him be the glory and the power. And dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Messiah, keep on rejoicing. If you're insulted because of the name of Messiah, you're blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. However, if you suffer as a believer, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, with the house of God. If it begins with us first, will become the outcome of the godly and the sinner. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. And so as we begin this new year, on the calendar, we're challenged. We are facing challenge. We're facing a trial that is difficult for us to walk through. But it's all a part of refining us. We sang that song, Refiner's Fire. This is part of our refining, of preparing us to become that bride without spot or blemish. And we know that in order for that to happen, we need to go through some difficulties, some trials. And this is just the beginning. Unfortunately, this is just the beginning of sorrows, Yeshua said. These are the beginning of birth pangs. We know that birth pangs will only increase and become more frequent and more intense as we get closer and closer to the coming of the Messiah. So we should not be surprised by what we're seeing happening, even though it's difficult for us to walk through these difficulties. But God will give us strength. He'll give us grace. He'll give us favor. And he will help us to endure. He says, for you have need of endurance, that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what is promised. And one day we'll receive the crown, the crowns that God has will reward us based upon how we have lived our lives on this, in this life. And we know that our lives is coming to an end at some point, some of us sooner than others, but we all know where we're headed. We all know, hopefully, that everyone in this room knows your name is written in the book of life. And if you don't know, you can be sure, you can know that your name is recorded in the book of life by accepting Yeshua as your Messiah. I remember a number of years ago on Yom Kippur, there was a young man who came forward and gave his life to Yeshua on the Day of Atonement. And that was a really meaningful experience. And I know that also a number of years ago when we were in Edmonton, there's a lady in our congregation that died on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. And I believe that Jan's mother also died on the Day of Atonement. And so, you know, God is, God has an appointed time for each one of us. And he really wants us to keep our eyes on him, because regardless of what we're seeing happening around the world, God is in control. God has a plan and purpose. It's all working together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Amen. So, Father, thank you, God, for this word, Father. We know that as many of our people are fasting, praying, hoping that their name will be recorded in the book of life. Lord, thank you for that unshakable assurance that our name is recorded in the book of life, and that we'll live life everlasting, because you said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but will have life everlasting. Thank you, Lord, that our life is everlasting. Thank you, Father, there's there is a reward for us at the judgment seat of Messiah, based upon how we have lived our lives. Lord, help us to live our lives in a godly way, so that we will not be ashamed when you come and you gather your people to yourself. That we'll be able to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. Enter into the joy of my kingdom. Well, that's, we want to all hear those words. Lord, help us to be men and women of faith that trust in you, God, during these difficult times. In Yeshua's name we praise you, we thank you. Amen, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.